Okay. Everyone say good morning to Mayor. Welcome to Mayor if you haven't met Mayor yet. Yeah, Jacob. Okay. So there are two generations described here, Jacob. Two generations described in Parshas Noach, each of whom were punished divinely. The sin of the Dor HaMabul, and the reason the story is cited, is obvious. This was a generation of complete moral collapse. And not only they, but the entire earth had to be rebooted. So the Mabul is not just an opportunity to rid the world of sinners, but to re-landscape a fallen natural world. Not just a fallen... enough sheets? Look on with that, Andy. Yeah. Fallen... yeah, extra sheets, yeah. Okay. The Dor HaMigdal Bavel, what was their sin? So the answer to that question we won't discuss today. I'll discuss it tonight in this Hashem in the close. What was their failure? But a larger question, independent of the failure, why is this episode recorded? What's so dramatic? What's so important? It seems to be morally very ambiguous, unlike the Mabul, which is a very clear moral presentation. Well, why is the story cited? It must have been many generations. Dor Enosh, we hear through Chazal, many other generations who failed in their theological or moral odyssey were disseminated across the earth, who were somehow discontinued. So I understand why the generation of the Mabul is discussed at such great length, but why does Dor HaMigdal Bavel, what's the lesson? So there are many lessons, and I'll talk about it extensively tonight, but let's see how the Sfas Emes encodes it. He decodes it based on a pasuk in Hazira, and I'll read the pasuk, and you can see he quotes it in the beginning. Zechor Yemo Salam, remember history. Inu Shnos Dor Vador, that's a little hint of two generations. Try to investigate the lives of Dor Vador. There's only one parsha that has two Doros in there, or two such clear presentations about two cultures and their respective experiences. And now the next pasuk in Hazino has a coded reference to the Dor HaMigdal Bavel. Remember when Hashem gave each nation their own land, Hanchel Elyon Goyim, Behafrido Bnei Adam, when Hashem separated humanity. What does that sound like when Hashem scattered humanity? Behafrido Bnei Adam, Migdal Bavel. He scattered each population as opposed to creating concentrations. Yatsev Guvalos Amim, Hashem set the borders of each nation. Here's the thrust. This is the pasuk you don't have in front of you. Lemispar b'nei Yisrael. On behalf of the Jewish people. This is incredible. The Dor of Migdal Bavel and its scattering and its experience serves Jewish history. The story of Migdal Bavel and all of Parshas Noach is pre-Judaism. It seems to be universal. Man's pursuit of morality, man's failure to achieve a moral code, man's pursuit of unity in common metropolis, and for some reason Hashem intervenes and prevents that metropolis from emerging and scatters them to different nations, different boundaries. One is this description, at least according to the Sfas Emes, which relates to Migdal Bavel in Parshas Hazino. Why does it conclude, Lemispar ben Israel, for the sake of the Jewish people? So there's a general thesis, which I'll describe, then there's a specific point. The general thesis of the Sfas Emes, which we'll read, is that the period of Migdal Bavel achieved a very, very elusive trait. And that's the trait of unity. Vahi kol ha'aretz safa achas u'dvarim achadim. They were unified. They finally unraveled the curse of Cain. Remember Cain's curse? Because of his hostility and his violence, he was condemned to live a nomadic lifestyle, to wander the earth alone, to move from hilltop to hilltop. Finally, after thousands of years, remember, this is at least 1,500 years down the pike. We read it in 2 weeks, so we think Migdal Bavel occurs 2 weeks after Bereishis. It's about 1,800 years later. Adam appears on the scene in the year 2000. So historians have tried to date Migdal Bavel, and Chazal have their own dating scheme, but it's not year 50. This is year 1800. It's like living in 1800 years after the year zero. 1800 years have elapsed, and finally people are creating fraternity, solidarity, one common language, one common interest, and then of course it spawns industrialization, which we'll talk about tonight, the industrial revolution of fire and stone and bricks. But there's great unity. Now that unity is an incredible, incredible achievement. And they're to be celebrated for that achievement. Now, what was their sin? Why was it taken from them? Sfas Emes doesn't talk about it in this piece. But let's read what he describes. Why was that unity so important? Kilama nasan Hashem Yisbarach, line 3, Lidor haflaga, mikodem shayu safa achas v'dvar machadim. Why? Now I'm skipping to line 5, the end of the line. We'll go back. Rak shakol letovas bnei Yisrael. Shal yedeze nishar koach ha'achdos lebnei Yisrael. Remember, Hasidus is irrational. It's based on a metaphysical world, a phenomena that your eyes can't trace. They're logical. They're not mystical necessarily, but your eyes can't prove them. Once that level of unity is introduced into our world, the world has been changed, and it's more accessible for another nation to come by later in history and achieve that type of unity, the Jewish people. So Hashem allows human beings to achieve unity, strips them of their unity for reasons he doesn't describe here. We don't have time to describe this morning. But now humanity has proven itself capable of achieving Achdus, and now Am Yisrael has that challenge, not to achieve something new, but to reinvent or to revive a level of unity that had once been tasted by men that was forever lost. Think of the world we live in. One of the challenges of democracy is its premise on disunity. Monarchy creates unity of thought. There's one person, there's one role model, there's one system of government. Democracy thrives on dialogue and discourse and differences. At its best, it capitalizes and it marshals the energy from those differences and it creates a larger unification. We're living in a period in which the ugly side of democracy is rearing its head. Polarization, violent politics, politics of exclusion, politics of hatred. So man has been searching for our unity for thousands of years, and it's remained elusive. And part of Am Yisrael's unique talent and challenge is to achieve that unity. So that's the general theme, that the Migdal Babel generation, the Dor HaPlaga, achieved something very noteworthy, very important, for whatever reason, which the Sfas doesn't describe in this piece. They were stripped, they were deprived of that unity. We'll talk about that tonight. Possibly because God wasn't at the center point. True unity comes from uniting around HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. As we said during our Tfilos of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, true unity can only come when Hashem's pivoted at the midpoint and they had no sense of God. We'll talk about how that happened tonight. But this unity remains in the air, so to speak, in our universe. And now the Jewish people can come and not invent it, but revive it and rehabilitate. Okay. Now the internal piece. The Torah describes them as having Safa Achas, one common language. A simple reading is one common language. The Zohar says they didn't just discover a common language. They discovered the language, the Safa Achas, the Devarim Achadim. What's the language? Lashon HaKodesh. They spoke in Lashon HaKodesh. And the ability to speak in Lashon HaKodesh empowered them with a very, very unique opportunity. But now two steps back. As we've talked about in the past, and I'll continue talking about, in Kabbalah, and Hasidus draws from Kabbalah, there's a larger phenomena beyond just moral good and bad. We see our primary interest and our primary challenge to be better people, to redeem the world by goodness and virtue and nobility and Torah and Hashem's presence. There's a larger drama in Kabbalah, and that's unity versus disunity. Hashem is unified. Everything in our world is scattered. I'm not Jacob. Jacob's not me. Jacob has body and soul, conscious, subconscious. This table is atoms, subatomic particles, quarks, protons. Everything in this world, we live in a world of division. That's how we process. Our senses are divided, sight, smell, taste. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just Echad in the sense that he's exclusive, but you can't divide him. He's indivisible. It's all one. And he wanted to create that world in his image, but for whatever reason, the world can't stabilize, can't sustain unity, and it fell into disunity. And part of our goal is to take a world that's divided. I mean divided, violent, angry, divided. I mean just divided. And l'shem yuchad kodesh baruch hu, just be miyached, integrate the world so that it more resembles our kodesh baruch hu. And through our good acts and our kind deeds and our mitzvahs, we're not just becoming better people, but we're creating unity in the image of our kodesh baruch hu. Now, we typically think of language as something which is segmenting, right? If I articulate something with words, I've delimited it. So that's a jacket, it's not a table. That's a table, it's not a jacket. That's a shirt, it's not food. But if we thought without words, we could probably think in greater unity. Right? You ever try thinking without words? It's almost impossible because we've been trained to think with words. But many modern writers, anyone read James Joyce? Ever? Ulysses? Some of his chapters are written without words. They're just written in letters that are meant to convey tones and sounds and colors and smells. It's a very interesting form of writing. You know, so why, when I hold this up, you think of a Tehillim book, and you don't think of a cookie. But if, let's say, I know you guys are getting hungry, what if I were able to capture some communication that unified the Tehillim book and the cookie? So words we think are segmenters. But on the other hand, words also signify integration, because we're taking separate letters and integrating them as one word. So word can also signify integration. The language, and he doesn't describe it here, but he just quotes the Zohar, that creates unity is Lashon HaKodesh. Our language of Lashon HaKodesh is unique, not only because it's our language and we're unique people, not only because possibly the world was created in that language, hard to know. Chazal seemed to feel that way. Hashem created the world with a hey, with a yod, with various letters. But because it's the language of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that unifies, and the language of Hashem is unification. They had discovered Hebrew, Dor HaMidbar, Dor HaMigdal Babel, according to the Zohar. So they were not just achieving unity by being tolerant to one another, and creating factories, and common governments, and democracies, Thomas Jefferson, and French. They created a cosmic unity because they had the language, and they were going to use that language in their common purpose to create a cosmic change, a world of unity. For whatever reason, Hashem denied them this opportunity. But this ability to use Hebrew to create a more important unity, not just moral unity, but that was still a remnant that the Jewish people could capitalize upon and grab later and employ to Lashon HaKodesh. The irony is that Hasidim today, most branches of Hasidim, speak a dominant Yiddish, because that's a form in their mind to maintain past identity, which is under siege in the modern world, or the cultural attack of media and culture. So the irony is that the Sfas speaks so glowingly about Hebrew, and many Hasidic sects today are very, very adamant about maintaining Yiddish. But again, we still daven in Hebrew, we learn in Hebrew. Obviously, you don't just have to speak Hebrew, but it's an important statement about the power of Hebrew and the power of this year, Mirzajan, learning Lashon HaKodesh, or learning the modern incarnation of Lashon HaKodesh, which many people feel is not true. I feel it is. The language is constantly in evolution. Even though some of the words in the Hebrew language today may not be traceable back to Tanakh, they're still part of language. Language is a union between an original base language and human additions, human conventions. The words that are added have to be part of language as well. It's a very, very tantalizing Sfas Emes. Why does the Migdal Babel quote it? For their achievements. Why is this achievement important to the Jewish people and Mitzvah B'nai Yisrael? What does that mean? It's metaphysical. Once populations have achieved unity, it's more accessible, it's more attainable. What's the role of Safa Achas, Yidvar Machadim, Hebrew? Hebrew is a unique metaphysical language, not just a personal interactive language. And when we speak Hebrew, we're achieving something larger than just language and communication. Okay, so for those who, just a reminder, Mirtz Hashem, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, we're going to learn a sefer called Avos Rabbi Nassan. Avos Rabbi Nassan is a parallel work to Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos is written in very, very pithy form, very short aphorisms. It's hard to really know what Pirkei Avos means. It's just so condensed. Avos Rabbi Nassan is like an elaboration, almost like a Gemara to Pirkei Avos. So you're going to be studying Pirkei Avos, but in the expanded view, 4 days a week. We'll see this on Wednesday, Rashi on Friday. Have a great day, everyone. And a good zman. Welcome back to the pen. To the yeshiva. Yishkoach, Jonah, the Tefillah Shachos. Yes. If